Welcome to the Jewish Prayer Podcast, where we uncover the depth, beauty, and relevance of the timeless words of Jewish prayer. Here is your host, Rabbi Yossi Lindenbaum.
Okay, welcome back. We continue our journey through the Siddur, and I'm excited. We're going to move on. We're in the meat of Psukei Dezimra, the main part, and we're up to probably the highlight, the most important, the most famous paragraph in all of Psukei Dezimra. I'm a little intimidated to start this, but with the help of the Almighty, we'll be able to be successful. I'll be able to share with you why this is my favorite Ashrei. So my favorite prayer, I meant to say, which is fondly known as Ashrei. So let's first do when we say it, and then we'll see what it's about, some of the broader messages, and then some specific lines. Like I promised, we'll focus in on just some lines that we can intend. So we say it actually three times a day. The Gemara says we should say Ashrei three times a day, right here, right now, where we're up to in the prayers. We'll say it again in the morning service in Shacharis after the Shemona Esrei. We'll learn about that later. And then we say it a third time before Mincha, the afternoon prayers. So we're saying this prayer three times every single day. In addition, two more times that we say it. There's a prayer known as Slichos that said different communities, it's different, but the time period before and during the high holidays is Slichos. And we'll say that daily, and that starts with the prayer of Ashrei. And then finally, in the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, the holiest prayer of the year, which is the closing of Yom Kippur, the prayer of Ne'ilah, it also begins with the prayer of Ashrei. So it is a very, to me, it's so meaningful, and I'll show you how this connects. But even the schedule of the prayer is this combination between the mundane and the lofty. We're saying it every day, three times a day. It's as common as breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And at that same time, at that holiest moment of the year, we're saying the same thing. Interesting. Kind of going back to that. Say, is it mundane? Is it regular? Or is it special? And I guess the message is that it's both. We'll see what the message is. But this message is that the mundane is special. So let's see if we can do that together. Hope that's exciting enough for you, because I'm pretty excited. So first of all, well, it is a paragraph Tehillim of Psalms, although the first two sentences and the last three are technically not. So the Ashrei is actually from a different Psalm. The first one is from one other verse in Psalm. The second verse is the verse right before this paragraph in Psalms. And the last one is from a different place. The reason why this was picked to be repeated so many times, the Gemara actually asks, why was this chosen to be repeated? He said, what do you like about this prayer so much? And one option is that it has the Aleph Beis. It goes in the order of the alphabet, where there's a verse, a pasuk, that starts with each letter of the alphabet going in order. So the first one, after you start the beginning, it's actually not the Ashrei. It's Aro Mimcha Aleph, and it goes on every single letter. It's not actually true. There is one letter skipped, which is interesting. The Nun. But overall, it's the order of the Aleph Beis. So that's what the Talmud says. And the Gemara responds, it says, well, that's actually not a great, it's a good reason that it goes in order of the alphabet, but it's not perfect because there are actually a few psalms that go in the order of the alphabet. Why wouldn't you pick a different psalm that also goes in the order of the alphabet? It actually even suggests there's a psalm, chapter 119, which has the alphabet eightfold. It says each letter of the alphabet eight times. So it's actually the longest psalm by a long shot. And so it suggests maybe we should say that every day, which would definitely extend our prayer times. The Gemara gives a second reason. It says because there's one verse in there that's very precious. There's a verse in there that's very precious, and that is the verse, the sentence, Poseach es yadecha, the one that starts with a pay. And I guess we'll focus in on this because this is obviously the focus of it. And we have to explain why going in the alphabet is important too. So what does this verse mean and why is it so precious? Well, it means It's interesting. It's actually often understood as a command. Posech es yadecha. Provide, open up your hands. We turn to God and we tell him, open up your hand. Umaspi al chochai, and you provide for every living thing, ratzon, his desire. But it really is not meant like that. It's not a prayer. It's a praise. Posech es yadecha. You open your hand and you satisfy the need of everything. Meaning that Hashem provides sustenance, food, livelihood for every human being, and even beyond every human being. Actually, the wording is every living thing. So every animal, insect, everything out there has enough food to eat. And it's really, that is what we're praising Hashem about. Now, it's beautiful that this praise of sustenance is also what we started with. It's the most common and commonplace and regular, and at the same time, the most special and exalted and lofty. It's the most common because everybody eats and everybody has enough food and every single animal has enough food. And wherever you go, okay, animals eat and there's a ecosystem and things provide for each other and everybody's okay for the most part, for the most part. But on the one hand, it's like that. And on the other hand, we actually believe that this is all done by Hashem. Hashem takes a very personal interest in making sure everybody has enough sustenance. There's a Gemara that says that while many things Hashem runs this world in a kind of autopilot, there are a few keys that Hashem gives to no one else. There's three keys that Hashem gives to no one else. And one of those keys is livelihood, food. Meaning Hashem himself is in charge of who gets food, when they get food, and really that includes all parnasa, livelihood, how much money you're going to make. That is all decided and divvied out by Hashem. Again, while it seems so normal, it actually makes a little bit of sense because food is your life, right? That's how you're alive. If you don't eat, you will not live. Your very body is just made up of the nutrients of the food that you've eaten in the past. So it's very lofty. It's Hashem's gift to us. It's Hashem giving life to us, the food. But something that if we look away and we don't pay attention to, it looks so natural. The fact that I go out to work and I work hard and I get a paycheck just seems like normal. Everyone does it. And if you look around at the animals, every animal has enough food to eat and every bird and every insect, and it's just so natural. And we tell ourselves in Ashrei that it's not. It's the gift. It's a direct gift from Hashem to our mouth. And so we remind him, we remind ourselves of that reality. So that's what I would say the theme of this paragraph is. The theme of the paragraph is Hashem's daily interaction with us by providing for us, which is very natural, but at the same time very lofty. And this is the, after we went up on a high from the last paragraph of Yehi Chavod, of the glory of Hashem and how beyond this world he is, he at the same time is so close to us by those basic needs. The fact that it's lunchtime and I'm hungry and Hashem gives me food to eat, that's him also. That's the connection. I want to show you one other thing in like a broad perspective. We should get back to the Aleph Beis. Whenever there's a paragraph that goes through the letters and goes from Aleph to Tav, from the beginning of the alphabet to the end, it's the Torah, the psalmist's way of saying, this is everything. Like everything is Hashem. Okay? That's kind of the message of it. That just from A to Z is the expression in English. That means that everything included. So we're saying that everything in this world is the hand of Hashem. From the greatest thing to the smallest thing. But that's really what it means. Even the smallest detail of this world, of the nature of how things run, is a gift from Hashem and God is involved with. Okay, one more broad point on this paragraph is the tense. Those who read it carefully, if you read the grammar, you'll see that the grammar does something very interesting where we talk to Hashem and sometimes we talk to Hashem in first person. And sometimes you talk in third person. Like, I don't know, I'm just jumping to one where it's the Samach, if you follow along. It says, Hashem supports all the fallen ones and straightens all the bent. That's third person. That's me talking about Hashem. Hashem supports all the fallen ones. It's like me talking to my friend about Hashem. But then it says, the eyes of all to you with hope. That's the next line. And you give them their food in its proper time. Who's you over there? You give them their food in the proper time. It's Hashem. So it switches tenses where I'm talking to Hashem directly. Now, really, it's all prayer. In the whole paragraph, you're talking to Hashem. So let's be clear. Again, some lines sound, and I picked two lines, but really, if you look through it, it's almost every other line. In fact, of the 21 lines, 11 go one way and 10 go the other way. Half of them are directed to, in third person, talking about Hashem, and the other half are talking directly to Hashem. Now, we're never really talking to our friend. We're always talking to Hashem, but it's actually a respectful way. We don't really do it in English very often in America, where I'm speaking to somebody, but I speak to them in third person out of respect. But if you could imagine in Yiddish and in Russian, and I think there are other languages that do have this kind of different way of treating someone with more respect. So if I'm talking to a king, I don't say, do you like ice cream? That's just not respectful. The better way to say that is, does the king like ice cream? Okay, it's third person. We're not on equal footing where I can talk to you directly. So similarly in prayer, sometimes during prayer we talk to Hashem as about Hashem. This is what Hashem does, even though I'm praying to Hashem. And sometimes you talk to him very directly, you. Now, I think we pointed this out in the blessings. Every time you make a bracha, it kind of goes back and forth. But this paragraph is a very clear line of going back and forth, because it's really half and half between first person and third person, meaning being close to God and being scared of God. Understanding that Hashem is our Father and our King. He's someone who loves us deeply, and we're very close to, and at the same time, we're scared, and we realize that he's way beyond us, and our interactions with him matter. So that's love and fear, first person, third person, the back and forth. I probably mentioned this before, but if not, it's really good to know. If you've ever seen, there's something called shuckling. Shuckling. Shuckling is the shaking. If you've ever seen Orthodox Jews pray, they often shake, or it's usually called swaying. They sway when they pray. Now, if you ask your local Orthodox Jew why they do that, they will not know the answer. They'll say, I don't know, that's what we do. Or maybe they'll say, well, this is how my father or my mother does it, just the way we do. And once we do it, we get comfortable doing it. It's like, it's natural. It becomes like second nature. Maybe those who meditate will explain it gets you into a kind of trance, moving back and forth, gets you into the motion and into that place of focus. But a deeper meaning, I think, is like this. Every time we're talking to Hashem, and we have these two ways of reacting and connecting to him, one of closeness and one of fear. And so every time we daven, as we pray, we move close and we move far away. We move close, and that is the idea of our closeness to him, and then we move far away. And we're doing that over and over again, because that is this relationship with Hashem that is during prayer, but really guides our whole life. And again, it's very appropriate to this theme of Parnassa, of the most worldly. And again, as we go through the different paragraphs, we're going to get loftier and loftier. This in some ways is the most mundane, but it's so special. And so it's something that we're saying every single day, but we're also saying on Yom Kippur. And this is why it's my favorite, because it's so relatable. It's so real. And at the same time, it's the highest point in this world. And I mean, that's awesome. I don't know if I can put into words how I feel about this, but I hope I'm bringing that across. So we go back and forth. Did I cover all my points? I think I did. Okay, so that is this very important, very beautiful prayer about Parnassa, about this connection, right? Is again the thing that is very close to Hashem, because he provides us, he's literally feeding us our food and keeping us alive, like a mother feeding their baby. And at the same time, there's a fear, because if he doesn't give us the food, we will die and we will not, you know, go on. So that's just like, you know, he's going to decide, like a boss deciding who will get a raise and who will not. That's a very scary thing. So Hashem is our boss and our mother. Those are another two beautiful metaphors. And so that's this prayer, very appropriate. I want to bring your attention, of course, the let me start from the beginning, actually. So even though the beginning is from a different paragraph, I do want to start with the first two because they're such nice words. The word Ashrei, again, that's what we always call it. Ashrei means, here they say praiseworthy. I would say fortunate. Fortunate is usually how we translate it. Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha. Fortunate is the one who dwell in your house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sala, excuse me. May they always praise you. Sala. Sala is a word that doesn't really get defined. It's a poetic word that is there for the meter of how it gets fit in. The point is that, and actually this is a reference to the whole idea of saying Psukei Dezimra, where we sit in the house, where we're there a little bit before we continue on praying. So we say we're very fortunate to be able to praise you. What we're doing right now, praising you, Hashem, we're very fortunate to be one who can do that. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo. Fortunate is the nation that this is to them, that are able to do this. Ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. Fortunate is the one that Hashem is their God. So three Ashreis over there. How fortunate we are that we're able to praise Hashem, that we're part of a nation that praises Hashem, and that we are part of a nation that Hashem is their God. Hashem runs the world. There's another, of course, the Poseh Ches Yedecha that we just described, where we turn to Hashem and describe how he opens his hand and provides for every single living thing, certainly myself included. That's how we should intend it. It's actually brought in halacha that this line has to be said with intention. Sometimes you should be saying everything with intention, but sometimes we get distracted. This is one of the more important lines that we really do want to intend what we're saying. And if we get mixed up, we should go back and continue, start again, say it again. I want to bring one other line. It's one of my customs. I have a synagogue where I speak regularly. And so at the final prayer of Yom Kippur, which is a very meaningful, holy time, and people are open, their hearts are open, their souls are open, they want to hear something to inspire them to have a good year, to commit themselves to be better people, better Jews. And I often share a sentence from Ashrei, and I delve into it a little bit, focus on it, because, like I said, it is the most regular prayer, and it's also the one we're going to about to say when we finish the final prayer of Yom Kippur. So it's amazing. We're at that highlight, and I want people to be able to hear something that they'll be able to inspire them now, but inspire them on a daily basis. And I certainly believe that to be Ashrei, because here is Ashrei right at the beginning of this final prayer. And then I'm going to say it tomorrow morning on a regular weekday. And so one of my favorite ones is the one that starts with a kuf, which is in Hebrew, Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikru b'emes. And the question we ask is, who is Hashem close to? Who is Hashem close to? Good question, right? Who is Hashem close to? Is it to righteous people? Is it to scholars? Is it to the poor and the destitute? The oppressed? Is it all Jews? Is it all humanity? Who is Hashem close to? So this is what the psalmist, is what David says right here. Karo, Hashem is close to all those call out to him. Anyone who calls out to Hashem, Hashem is close to you. But there's a requirement. That's not the end of the sentence. So again, the beginning of the sentence says, whoever calls out to Hashem, Hashem is close to you. But l'chol asher yikru b'emes. The one requirement is you have to call out to him sincerely, with truth, authentically. You have to be real. You have to turn to Hashem and really mean it. And if you go back all the way to our introduction, we said, you know, sometimes you're not even sure if Hashem is real. Maybe not totally convinced in your belief. That's okay. That's called being real. That's called, I'm not sure, I haven't done enough research, or I have and I haven't gotten conclusive answers. But if you're there, I mean this 100%. I believe that to be authentic. In fact, for someone who says, like, you know, oh, I think Hashem wants me to say this, so I'll say this, that's called inauthentic. Be real. Tell him what you need, who you are, what you're thinking, and then he'll be close to you. He's right there. If you call to him in truth, with sincerity, he'll be right next to you. Wow. Powerful. Okay. Hope you appreciated that. Definitely every sentence there is very valuable, but like, we're going to continue on our program. We're going to try to read this, at least in these classes, a little bit faster and focus just on a few lines. There are gems. Read through every line and see what speaks to you on that day, and reread it the next day and see if there's another line that speaks to you. But that's what we want to focus on. This is the prayer of sustenance, which is the specific of God, but also the general, the closeness of God, but also the fear of God. The Aleph Beis, it's the everyday, and also the Yom Kippur. And that is the closeness of Hashem. May He answer all our prayers. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.